Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead, Text 6. Bhajasva Bhajaniyangrim Abhavaya Bhavachchidam Yuktam Virahitam Shaktya Guna Mayatma Mayaya Bhajasva Bhajan Bhajasva Bhajaniyangrim Abhavaya Bhavachchidam Yuktam Virahitam Shaktya Gunamayatma Mayaya Bhajasva Bhajaniyangrim Abhavaya Bhavachchidam Yuktam Virahitam Shaktya Gunamayatma Mayaya Bhajasva Bhajaniyangrim Abhavaya Bhavachchidam Yuktam Virahitam Shaktya Gunamayatma Mayaya Bhajasva Bhajaniyangrim Abhavaya Bhavachchidam Yuktam Virahitam Shaktya Gunamayatma Mayaya. Bhajasva Bhajaniyangrim Abhavaya Bhavachchidam Yuktam Virahitam Shaktya Bhajasva Bhajaniyangrim Abhavaya Bhavachchidam Yuktam Virahitam Shaktya Gunamayatma Mayaya Bhajasva Bhajaniyangrim Abhavaya Bhavachchidam Bhajasva Bhajaniyangrim Abhavaya Bhavachchidam Yuktam Virahitam Shaktya Gunamayatma Mayaya Vaishnavis. Bhajasva Bhajaniyangrim Abhavaya Bhavachchidam Yuktam Virahitam Shaktya
Vajra Sva Bhajani Angrin Avaraya Babats Chidam Kavaya Sam Satya Gunamaya Jasva Bhajani Angrin Avaraya Babats Chidam Bhajasva, engage in devotional service. Bhajaniya, worthy to be worshipped. Angrim, unto him whose lotus feet. Abhavaya, for deliverance from material existence. Bhavachidam, who cuts the knot of material entanglement. Yuktam, attached. Viraitam, aloof. Shaktya, to his potency. Gunamaya, consisting of modes of material nature. Atmamaya, by his inconceivable potency. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Engage yourself fully, therefore, in the devotional service of the Lord, for only He can deliver us from this entanglement of materialistic existence. Although the Lord is attached to His material potency, He is aloof from her activities. Everything in this material world is happening by the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In continuation of the previous verse, it is specifically mentioned here that Dhruva Maharaj should engage himself in devotional service. Devotional service cannot be rendered to the impersonal Brahman feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whenever the word bhajasva appears, meaning engage yourself in devotional service, there must be the servant, service, and the served. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is served. The mode of activities to please Him is called service. And one who renders such service is called the servant. Another significant feature in this verse is that only the Lord and no one else is to be served. That is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Mam ekam sharanam raja. There is no need to serve the demigods who are just like the hands and legs of the Supreme Lord. When the Supreme Lord is served, the hands and legs of the Supreme Lord are automatically served. There is no need of separate service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, text 7, Tesham aham samudarta mrityusam sarasagarat. This means that the Lord, in order to show specific favor to the devotee, directs the devotee from within in such a way that ultimately he is delivered from the entanglement of material existence. No one but the Supreme Lord can help the living entity be delivered from the entanglement of this material world. The material energy is a manifestation of one of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's varieties of potencies, Parasya Shaktir Vividai Vishruyate. This material energy is one of the Lord's potencies, as much as heat and light are potencies of fire. The material energy is not different from the Supreme Godhead, but at the same time, he has nothing to do with the material energy. The living entity, who is of the marginal energy, is entrapped by the material energy on the basis of his desire to lord it over the material world. The Lord is aloof from this, but when the same living entity engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, then he becomes attached to this service. This situation is called yuktam. For devotees, the Lord is present even in the material energy. This is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Material energy acts in the three modes of material qualities, which produce the actions and reactions of material existence. Those who are not devotees become involved in such activities, whereas devotees who are dovetailed with the Supreme Personality of Godhead are freed from such action and reaction of the material energy. The Lord is therefore described herein as Bhavach Chidam, one who can give deliverance from the entanglement of material existence. Omigyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma describes the lotus feet of the Lord using this same word, Bhavach Chidam. And he also describes them as Svasti Ayanam and Sumangalayam. And this means, you know, three things. You know, the lotus feet of the Lord can give deliverance from the entanglement of material existence. They can give positive experience of transcendental happiness. And they can give auspiciousness. People find themselves entangled in so many difficulties. It's the nature of the material energy that it that one engages in actions and then there are reactions. But the difficulty is one is not always able to act in the way one wants to act or would like to act. And whatever action is performed gives some result or reaction which may or not be the reaction that one had in mind or desired. So it's a very complex system, you know, that, you know, Krishna has set up. And one doesn't get the happiness one desires, and one doesn't get the auspicious result one wants. Sometimes it's called, auspiciousness can be said to be good luck. You know, Srila Prabhupada uses that term. And there's one purport to the Bhagavatam where Srila Prabhupada says that the living entity, you know, when he leaves Krishna's service, goes to try his luck in material existence. So it's like a bit of a gamble. You know, recently I've done some preaching in Nevada where they have these big casinos. And people go in there to try their luck. So Srila Prabhupada says the living entity, you know, comes to this material world to try, you know, his luck, you know, see what he can get out of it. But the results can be very, you know, confusing. Like, Krishna sets up the system, but he's not responsible for the results. He kind of gives everyone who comes into the casino of the material world
is guaranteed some things. Everyone is going to take birth. Janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukadosh anadarshanam. So everyone who comes here is going to experience birth, is going to experience, you know, death, is going to experience various kinds of miseries. That's granted for everyone. But how the experiences that one has are determined by, you know, the actions one performs, and one gets certain results. So some people, they get so-called good karma. You know, they perform auspicious activities, and they get a certain amount of wealth, a certain amount of education, a certain amount of beauty, a certain amount of strength, or even a certain amount of renunciation. But they remain entangled in the cycle of birth and death. So they can't get out of it. It's like they are forced to accept the results of their activities. You know, just like, you know, Maharaj was mentioning yesterday, you know, this fantastically wealthy man, John Paul Getty, J.P. Getty, who had everything. He had billions of dollars, but what he really wanted was to be able to pass urine properly. He had this disease. I mean, it's so obviously he had worked, you know, very hard. You know, he'd performed many actions to get, you know, the desired result. He got some of the things he desired, but some undesirable things also came. So Srila Prabhupada often spoke of the what he called the pitiless intrigues of, you know, the material energy. It means the material energy is very complicated. You may perform an action, but you may not immediately get, you know, the result you want. Eventually, the proper result will come, but maybe not in this lifetime, maybe in some other lifetime. You may do good things but get bad results because of impious activities one may have performed in a previous existence. So the whole system is actually very intricate and complicated, and no one can really figure it out. No one can get the exact result, you know, that they want, because it's just so complicated. So for those who become frustrated, you know, with this endless series of actions and reactions, you know, there is a way out. They can turn to the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even in performing actions, one isn't able to do everything one wants. I mean, one may desire to become a rich person, and one can perform so many actions, but the actions may not measure up to one's desires, because everyone is limited by their karma. But devotees of the Lord who turn to the Lord's service are not limited in their ability to act by their karma. Neither are they forced to accept, you know, the reactions of their previous existence in the same way that a normal conditioned soul does. You know, when one surrenders to Krishna, you know, by surrendering to Krishna's representative, one becomes freed from one's past karma. Sometimes Krishna may give some residual or reduced reaction as a way to instruct, you know, the devotee. But Srila Prabhupada gave the example that it's like an electric fan. If you pull the plug out, you know, the fan may still keep going for some time, but it's not like, you know, the fan going with the plug in full force. And then gradually it winds down. So if we turn to the service of the Lord, we become freed from these entangling actions and reactions of material existence. And gradually, you know, we begin to enter
the Lord's lila, or spiritual pastimes, which are not on the platform of action and reaction. In the beginning, because we are still, you know, conditioned by our tendencies to act fruitively, there's different ways that Krishna gives for, you know, conditioned souls to perform their activities, you know, on his behalf. You know, one can earn wealth and give it to Krishna, for example. But if one performs devotional service to Krishna in this regulated way at first, then gradually one comes to the platform of pure devotional service, where there's no motive other than to please Krishna. Now, in the intermediate stage, there's an intermediate stage between, you know, acting selfishly in material existence for one's own, you know, benefit, and the stage of acting purely, you know, for Krishna's pleasure, as do his eternally liberated associates. And in that intermediate stage, our tendencies to act can be engaged in Krishna's service if we act according to, you know, the instructions, you know, that Krishna gives and that Krishna's bona fide representatives give. And gradually we can come to the platform of pure devotional service. And in that way, we become freed from material existence, you know, bhavachchidam, and then also svastyayanam. It's the path of good fortune and happiness. We begin to experience actual spiritual happiness on the spiritual platform. We develop a higher taste. And finally, there's sumangalayanam. We become fortunate. And sometimes, you know, we may be a little envious of people that appear to have good luck. You know, everything appears to be going their way. But for the devotee of the Lord, that's the position. There's always good fortune, you know, for the devotee of the Lord. Of course, there may be sometimes some things happening that appear to be reverses in terms of, you know, the ordinary way of looking at things. But the devotee will see even the reverses as good fortune, as, you know, good luck, you know, offered, you know, by, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his or her further advancement in devotional service. So then I also want to say a few words about the different personalities and events that were mentioned in the Vaishnav calendar this morning. This is the appearance day of Vamsi Vadana Thakur. I don't know very much about him. What I have been able to find out is that he was a dear servant of Vishnupriya, who was, you know, the second wife of Lord Chaitanya. And after Lord Chaitanya left this world, you know, this great personality continued her existence in separation from Lord Chaitanya. And, you know, she was very austere. You know, she would, for every Hare Krishna mantra that she chanted, she would put aside, you know, one grain of rice. And after, you know, chanting a sufficient amount, you know, then she would take a little bit of prasadam like that. But one of her servants was this Vamsi Vadana Thakur. And when Srinivas Thakur went from Vrindavan to Bengal, it said he met, you know, this personality. Then there was, it's the appearance day of Shamananda, who was one of our great, you know, Vaishnava acharyas. He lived, you know, at the time of the six Goswamis. And along with Narottam and Srinivas, you know, he was sent by,
you know, Jiva Goswami from Vrindavan to carry the Vaishnav literatures, you know, from, you know, Vrindavan to Bengal as part of the first big book distribution party. And he was a very famous acharya. He spread, you know, Krishna consciousness widely, you know, Bengal, Orissa, and there's still, you know, party of Shamanandi, you know, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, you know, that are his descendants. And he was also an illustration of the verse that goes, Kiba Vipra Kiba Nyasi Sudra Kenanai, Ye Krishna Tattva Veta Sudra Kenanai. He was a spiritual master. He was a guru, but he was, although he was not born in a Brahmin family. So our, you know, Krishna consciousness movement is based on the principle that he illustrates, that anyone from whatever background, you know, can become a spiritual master if, you know, they understand the science of Krishna. It's also the day of Krishna's Vasant Rasa Leela. You know, Krishna performed, you know, the Rasa dance on different occasions. You know, once he performed it in the spring, another time in the fall. In, you know, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a commentary by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur where he talks both about, you know, Krishna's spring rasa dance and Balaram's, you know, rasa dance, which I'll talk about in a little moment. But in his commentary, before he even begins really to discuss it, he writes this whole summary of every single instruction, you know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam that has to do with how material sex life is something to be avoided. He talks about the example of Chitraketu, Purarava. He just goes through the entire Bhagavatam and summarizes every story and every instruction that has to do with how important it is, you know, for a conditioned soul to become disentangled from material sex attraction. And only after that does he begin to, you know, comment on this spiritual, totally spiritual, transcendental, you know, activity. So today is also the day of Balaram's Rasa Leela. Once Balaram went from Dwarka back to Vrindavan to give some solace to the gopis who were missing Krishna. So he gave them some instruction from Krishna. And then it said he danced with some of the gopis. So our acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and others have given some information about this. He didn't dance with the same gopis that Krishna danced with. Actually, there was, during Krishna's Vasant Rasa Leela, which took place near Govardhan Hill, that Rasa Leela was interrupted by Sankachuda, you know, this demon who wanted to kidnap the gopis, and he was dispatched by Krishna. But at that time, Jiva Goswami says in his commentaries, Krishna made a little bit of, you know, he kind of made a little bit of fun, you know, of Balaram, saying, oh, just look, some of these gopis are looking at your broad chest and your long arms, and they want to be embraced by you. And our acharyas explained that at that time, you know, Krishna was indicating that later, you know, those gopis would dance with Balaram. And so Krishna danced with some of the gopis, but not those. So later, when Balaram went from Dwarka to Vrindavan, he gave solace, Jiva Goswami says, to Krishna's gopis. And then the gopis that he danced with were, according to our acharyas, composed of two groups. The group that Krishna had talked about during his Vasant Ras Leela at the time he killed Sankachuda. And then also there were some that had been too young, to dance with Krishna. Or they also participated in this Rasa Leela of Lord Balaram, which took place at a place called Ramghat. Completely different place. Our acharya stressed that too. There were different gopis, and the two events took place in widely separated parts of Vrindavan. And so this Ramghat is on the Yamuna River near a town that's now called Shergar, kind of north of Vrindavan, but still in the Vraj Mandal region. And it was also at that time that Balaram became a little intoxicated and called the Yamuna to come, and she wouldn't come, so he dragged her with his plow. So those are a few words about some of the events and personalities mentioned in the Vaishnav calendar for today. So does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes.
Guru, you mentioned about Vishnupriya Devi being very austere. So how do we understand this as not being just some concoction of some sort by being austere, that we should chant one round also and save one grain of rice? How do we understand this?
Well, the general principle is that we are not to try to imitate the pastimes of the Lord and his eternal associates. Rather, we're meant to follow accept the principle, follow the instructions of them. And for that, we have to depend on the guidance of superior authority. It says, Tarko pratishtat shrutiyo vibhinam nasav rishir yasya matirna binam dharmasya tatvam nitam gahayam mahajano yena gitas panta. If we try to, figure things out logically and rationally, try to draw some conclusion, or even if we start examining different shastric things, because one shastra may say one thing, another shastra another, and even, we may consult rishis, but they have different opinions. So we ultimately, we depend on following in the footsteps of Mahajan. And great devotees, they adjust, the principles of devotional service for, the particular time, place, and circumstance. That is their business. Like Lord Chaitanya, he instructed the six Goswamis to go through all the Vedic literatures and teachings and gather the most important principles, for that, time. And then we see, great acharyas, they present Krishna consciousness according to desha, kala, patra, time, place, and circumstance. So when Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world, he brought Krishna consciousness in a way that could be practically applied, to the people of this time, place, and circumstance. And so I think the safest thing is that we follow in the footsteps of our Mahajan, Srila Prabhupada, and the things that, he considered to be important, from the examples of previous acharyas, from the shastras, which contain many instructions how to act, how to behave. And then we follow them. So he didn't stress that we, you know, eat one grain of rice for every round, you know, chanting Hare Krishna. He stressed that we take prasadam in a moderate amount, not too little, not too much, sufficient that we can perform, you know, the services that he gave. And he didn't really give us the same services that a bhajanandi would perform. He wanted us to perform, be very active in service. As we're mentioning here, you know, we have to engage in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he outlined a system. Actually, and we take generally, you know, prasadam in the morning, in the afternoon, and, you know, maybe a little in the evening. But when Srila Prabhupada set up his society in Jhansi, you know, I was kind of reading over his articles of incorporation. You know, the devotees had a much better prasadam program than. Because he said they will, you know, after Mangalartik, they will be given milk sweets. And then, you know, it's like at every offering, you know, the devotees were being fed. You know, it was a pretty amazing system. But however, by his own example, he showed that at the end of life, we may, you know, after a lifetime of hard service to Krishna, you know, we may, you know, begin to cut down, you know, on the amount, you know, that we eat. But during our lifetime of active service, you know, it seems that the example that we have from our Mahajan is that we should take, you know, prasadam to our full satisfaction, but not so much that we become, you know, too sleepy and unable to perform our service. Anything else? Yes, Maharaj.
Little comment. Srila Prabhupada, when he used to give class, he used to make us repeat the, you know, translation. You know, one who was, you know, reading the verse for him mainly, our God brother, what was his name? Pradyumna Prabhu. He will make everybody repeat. So what do you think of that?
If that's the instruction, then I'll do it.
Yeah, this is what we noticed whenever Prabhupada gave the class, you know. I attended some of his classes. He would make everybody repeat the translation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.